And this time, we're going to call the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District regular meeting to order. We have roll call, please.
President Peace?
Here.
Vice President Leet?
Here.
Director Graves, absent. Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Could be Joint Director Simon, but I believe.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I'd like to open up the meeting to public comments. The public can talk to us about anything that's not on the agenda. We have a three-minute time limit. Is there any public comment?
Good evening. My name is Jim Madison. I'm here this evening to see if I can ask the CSD to perhaps start a dialogue with the supervisor's office and maybe Caltrans. There's a lot of discussion around town that when people are leaving Discovery Boulevard and leaving Newport, it's very congested in the morning. As you know, that's a merging lane up there. Unfortunately, people don't know how to use the merging lane, or they're very scared of people coming from Stockton because people do blow through there. So the traffic gets way backed up. And the other problem that we have is at nighttime, coming back from the Bay Area at 6 o'clock about this time, not only is the traffic backed all the way up, it kind of goes out in the middle of the road, and that's also very dangerous too. So talked to a few people. A lot of people in town are talking about it, and Kevin and I had a brief conversation about it. Kevin Graves and I had a conversation. I think everyone kind of agrees it's kind of a stepping stone is to start here and then keep moving it forward. Mary Peoples' office is on board with the whole thing to do a traffic study and kind of see where we go with that. So that's what I have for tonight.
Thank you. Can't really comment on those types of items, but I think we can refer to staff to follow up on that, and I think it's a good idea through Caltrans and Kevin office.
I'll do that, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and we'll go to area agencies reports. Sheriff's Department, please.
Take one and pass it down. Then whatever left over, that's going to pass out to the person folks if they want one.
So you're stuck with me today, Deputy Dave Malane. Tony decided to take the night off for personal reasons. So I'm here to provide the information you guys are looking for, and we'll go from here. Nothing too earth-shattering, you guys will notice on the activity. We have one vehicle theft, a marine hazard removed, false report of a bomb. Everybody probably heard about that safely. It's not a real bomb. Other misdemeanor. Missing adult, missing juvenile, a couple of tows, some found property, suspicious circumstances, nothing too exciting there either, some civil issues, warrant arrests, a couple of batteries, one child abuse, an auto burg, and some residential burglaries. We have a whole, total of three, a grand theft, another theft, a petty theft, and another grand theft. Most couple of vehicle thefts there was three of them, a petty theft, other, and it seemed to be the month of folks needing some mental health this month. We had quite a few at seven. Two identity thefts and a felony vandalism. And then the last page, misdemeanor vandalism, trespass. And then a prowler, which was actually more than likely some folks trying to get into unlocked parks. So when it says prowler, not like we all think. So I think it's been a pretty good month. I'll take questions, try to help you guys out the best I can.
Felony vandalism, what elevates it to a felony?
The dollar amount.
Oh, the dollar.
Yeah, usually, I think it's above $899. I think it's a dollar amount, right around there.
On the toes, are these usually a result of expired cars sitting on the street or the criminal action?
Most of the toes are as a result of either abandoned over the 72-hour limit or expired over 6 months. Our community service officer goes around and does a pretty good job of ticketing and towing vehicles that need to go and a few others.
Yes, he does.
any other questions? Any public comment? Okay, well, thank you very much.
You guys have a wonderful night.
You too. CHP report.
Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Okay. Hello, Board Officer Thomas of California Medical. For the month of February, the activities we had here in Discovery Bay, we had 2 DUI arrests, 1 warrant arrest, we had another miscellaneous arrest, I'm not quite sure what it was. 3 traffic collisions, we had 53 total citations written in the Discovery Bay area. 41 of them were speed, stop sign violation for only speed, and the other 12 were seatbelt, cell phone, and registration citation. And then we had 1 stolen vehicle recovery. I don't know where it was at, but it was there. You guys have any questions or anything? No, absolutely.
Do you find that you're giving tickets to this local neighbor, local drivers, or do you find most go out of the area driver's licenses?
If I'm inside here, Clifford or Newport, yep, stuff like that, it is local. If I'm out on, say, Bixler, Highway 4 especially, you're getting Bixler Road, it's half local, half people cutting through, and then out on Highway 4, it's probably 70% outside.
Yeah, and I think your community out of enforcement support, there's some big trucks out there looking at the community mm-hmm. out
there, so. Yeah, we've been out, I think the last one got probably issued 40 sites out there to take ready and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I never did comprehend why they took the restriction in the weights or.
From what I understand, the restrictions are in on Camino Diablo because the weights and the vibrations of the trucks are affecting the wells there for the residents.
Oh.
So that's what I've been told, other than the research of that, if you will.
We had public comment. I don't know, were you here for any public comment? The discussion of the entry lanes off of.
Correct, yeah. The channel of going through the supervisor, because we're just enforcement, is where we are, so. Caltrans, when they get the engineers in there, I'm totally behind you on that. I've seen that and everything like that. So that's the proper channel to go. Right there. All we can do is you can try to do enforcement. A lot of times during those commute hours, they're tied up on other stuff, collisions that happen. Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, East County Constable Fire, we had a fire station. We're talking to the chief for a moment. Supervisor Mary P. Coldall.
Good evening, everybody. Alicia Neckel, Supervisor Pupo's office. If I could just clarify really quick in the Camino Diablo hallway truck restrictions, there were some issues such as the vibration, cracking houses, and damaging the wells. But we actually did it, the county actually did a speed survey as well as a road condition survey. And the road in and of itself turning from Camino Diablo onto hallway and hallway off onto Camino Diablo, the roads are simply not wide enough for the trucks to make the turn without going into the other lane. And so there was safety concerns in regards to that. So just to clarify a little bit, it wasn't just the wells.
Yeah. While you're going on that subject, there's a hanging use of flash light up there, which would indicate that there's and it hasn't worked for a long time. Maybe you could
Actually been trying to work on that. All copper piping has been stolen from there. So we were trying to look, I know the county's looking into possibly solar options, but they're also gonna have the Byron intersection that's going to be coming too. So that'll also contribute to maybe not as many trucks coming through or just using the truck route as they're supposed to instead of passing through Byron. It's really literally probably less than 45 seconds, maybe a minute maximum difference in timing if they just stay on the road that they were intended
to. Obviously, the ready mix guys, the cement trucks or the local cement trucks are using it.
Well, it's the ones that pass through because what's happening is they Google it. And Google, what do? They give you the fastest route, even if it's only a minute. So that's what, and trying to change that. We're in the process of that too, because I don't know how long that'll take. But some exciting news here. The dock signs, I think it was the last meeting, Discover-based dock signs, it's time to order those. We've just submitted 12 new orders. If you miss the opportunity, you will have another opportunity later this year to order a dock sign. We also had a great response to the announcement about an opening on the P6 committee, and we are currently scheduling interviews with the applicants, and hopefully we'll have somebody in place for that missing spot before the next P6 meeting, which is April 13th at 6 p.m. Let's see. I didn't really want to bring this up, but I kind of wanted to address it too. I know that there were some concerns in regards to a VAT recently and rabies in the community, and I don't have much answers in terms of they did go and check, and it was a bat that was kind of flapping around, scratched the child. There was nothing else outside of that that had occurred. However, I just thought it would be wise to bring some information in regards to if you come into contact with the bat, as well as rabies in general, and so I've left that on the back table if you're interested in reading about that. And a couple other things I've left on the back there. The Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office is accepting applications for summer internships. So any high school or college students that you have or might know of that are interested in applying for the internship, the information is in the back there. You submit your application via email, and that's all there. And finally, there's going to be a free workshop in Oakley. The information's back there. I failed to write the date down. I apologize. Let me see if I wrote it here. It's going to be on helping keep California's waterway clean and green. So if you are interested in that, I do get it here. It is on Wednesday, March 16th, and it is in Oakley. It's from 8:45 to 2:45. So I also left some of these back there if you're interested in getting involved in that. Anything else? No questions? Okay.
Yeah,
thank you for having me here.
Have a great night. Okay, this time we're going to move on to committee and liaison reports. Is there a transplant report?
No, there's not.
County Planning Commission report?
None this time.
Code enforcement?
There was a meeting held in Supervisor Petro's office on Thursday. The last Thursday, there were no new items for Discovery Bay, but the code enforcement staff person, this way,
away from me.
Thank you. The code enforcement staff person, Larry Tolson, as well as Joe Lozado, who runs the code enforcement division for the county, wanted to ensure that we know that they are available. We have their numbers. They actually gave us their cell numbers as well. And if there are any concerns in the community, members of the public as well as us can feel free to contact them directly. And they are working out of, they have a staff member that works out of the Brentwood office.
That might be another item for information we put on our website someplace. So if the public goes on our website, they can find that and they can call themselves.
We can do that.
Okay. Special districts report. That's usually a quarterly meeting, so we have none of those. Are there any presentations this evening?
There are none.
Okay, I do want to mention we have an item that we're going to add to the agenda, and it's in reference to a LAFCO assignment. So I'd like to turn that over to staff.
So staff has interest in you considering adding an item to tonight's agenda. You would add it as item G6. And you have to make two findings in order to add an item to the agenda. The first is that the matter came to your attention after the board or after the agenda was posted. And in this case, LAFCO contacted staff yesterday afternoon, so well after the 72 hours in terms of when the agenda gets posted. So that finding is easy to make because staff was not contacted until yesterday afternoon in terms of coming to your attention after the board agenda was posted. The second is that it requires the immediate attention of the board. And in this case, the matter is to deal with a LAFCO appointment or to make a nomination for an appointment to the LAFCO board or LAFCO commission as a special district member. Due to the timing in terms of when they need those nominations, this is the only meeting that you'll have an opportunity to make that. So it is, in our opinion, a staff's opinion, it is something that is necessary to take the immediate attention of the board. In order to consider the item, before you can even discuss the item, you need to make a motion to add the item based on the findings that we've just given you. And with a member missing, that does need to be a unanimous vote.
I would move the addition of the special district representation on LAFCO as business item number G6.
I'll second that.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
You're going to take public comment on the item itself, so is there any, you could ask, is there any public comment on the adding of the item itself?
And we will so do. Seeing all rushing to the microphone, go back to staff and I will talk about the item itself.
Correct, so you'd be on item F1 right now, or F, your entire consent calendar, F1, 2, and 3.
Oh,
that's right. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to go to business and action item G1, lease of closed fire station. All right, I'll turn that over to staff.
Thank you very much, members of the board. This item is my request to authorize me to negotiate and sign a lease. Thank you. To negotiate and sign a lease on behalf of the district with the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District to lease the closed fire district property at 1535 Discovery Bay Boulevard. As you likely know, the existing district facilities are not sufficient to handle the needs of the park and maintenance staff. They currently have their supplies, their vehicles, their inventory of equipment located in four different locations in the community. Some of it is at Plant 1, which requires either accessing down the all-weather gravel road or making an uncontrolled left turn off the highway, which certainly presents some risk of an accident for our employees. Secondly, we're leasing a space that I would propose ending immediately as soon as we get the fire district property. We're paying $189 a month for a storage unit that I would like to end. Third, we have Brian promises me that every nook and cranny at this community center property is filled with his supplies. And then lastly, his truck vehicles are down at the district office. So his staff is reporting there, his office is here, and with locations, with equipment in four different locations, he estimates he's losing about an hour's worth of work from his crew every day. So the chance, this really presents an opportunity to use an existing public facility. I've had some preliminary discussions with Chief Henderson. This has been on the fire district's finance committee. It has not gone to their full board. But I do think that it's a great opportunity. It will help Brian bring his whole crew together and have a much more efficient operation have all of his supplies and his inventory in one place. So again, my request is to authorize me to be able to negotiate and sign a lease. I have the basic terms on page 2, looking for an annual lease with an option to extend, a monthly rent of $1,200 plus utilities, PG&E, we would maintain the building, and that the lease can be terminated by either party with sufficient written notice. And Brian, did you have any comments you would like to make?
Currently, we're operating out of the back of our pickup trucks. Every morning, my guys report to the main office, clock in, get their vehicles. Then they come over here, because my first job in the morning is to get the community center up and running. We open at 8 o'clock in the morning. And from there, I have to dispatch them either to plant one or to the storage area to pick up equipment, and then we're on our way to do our work. Not the most efficient way to operate. We have a very tight staff. We need to try to improve our efficiency, so we're actually out in the field as much as we can be and not wandering around trying to get organized. It's a great opportunity. I'd be right next door, because my first job in the morning is to get this center open, and then I can dispatch my guys, come over here, and have them out working quick rather than having them running around getting equipment.
Is there any question of staff on the board?
The only concern I have, I think you and I talked about this, we are down to one fire station in Discovery Day. In the event, the next couple of years, if the ECCFPD becomes healthy again, and we have an opportunity in a second fire station, which the town desperately needs, I would like there to be an option in this lease that we can walk away from it and once notice that that station could be reopened again.
I just want to make sure that I understand what you're asking for. In the event that they want to reopen that station, that would be completely fine to include that within the lease. I would like to make sure that if there was another reason, that we would have sufficient time to find an alternate location, so we would look for more time. But I would agree, if there's a possibility that that could be reopened for fire services, that is in the public interest, and I would have no problem, I can incorporate that into this.
What I don't want to happen is, should they have a meeting and say, look, we have the funds to open another fire station, we were thinking about Discovery Bay, but they've turned it into a service yard. The county needs to understand we can move out of the drop of a hat. I'd rather have that open any other week than have storage.
Certainly, we can include that provision in there.
I think that 30 days is a little restrictive, and I think that sufficient time when they say 180-day notice or something, I mean, a transition, you guys, we can't just, it's going to take him a couple months to set this thing up. Do we take it apart in 30 days?
Well, no, as long as we can work it out.
He's kind of lost right now.
But I think staff have worked that out, because I think Chief Sanderson's going to, he's not going to turn on the time to put up a fire station. He's got to get engines. He's got to get people. He's got staffing. He's got equipment issues.
Yeah.
So we'll all have plenty of time.
I just don't want to miss out to you.
Right. Is there any public comment? See, no public comment. We'll close the public comment section. Any further discussion or any motion?
No, make a motion.
I'll second it.
Staff recommendation?
Yes.
What's the motion?
Second staff recommendation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to go to the.
That was a wrong switch.
We're going to go to the water, wastewater plant one update. Award of bid to Sanitec, staff.
Thank you. I'll just start, Gregory. This is a follow-up for an item that the board has discussed and particularly discussed at your workshop, the importance of conducting an evaluation of whether or not we should continue to put capital into Plant 1 or if ultimately those resources should be transferred to Plant 2. So Gregory Harris, our district engineer, we'll give the report.
Just can't be a 60.
Okay, great. So the issue of repairs needed to Plant 1 versus considering relocation of Plant 1 to Plant 2 has come up off and on for quite a while, but sort of come to a head now as we were planning the CIP for this coming year and the next 5 years in mapping out what kind of repairs would be needed at Plant 1. There's been some discussion of we sort of need a little bit of facelift over there at Plant 1. It's around 35 to 40 years old, depending on what part of the plant you're in. And we need to buff it up and get it going in 20 years. there's a lot of existing assets that'll last a long time if they're repaired. But then the question has risen, you know, do we really want to put a lot more money into Plant One? Veolia, Bernie's not here, I won't say Bernie, but Veolia specifically requested the town, can we possibly move it? Because they have the same efficiency issues, they have to split people back and forth. And really, they have to go back and forth across every four there. They got to do that little S turn, you know, that little S across every four. And so, you know, that's problematic for them. Now, the issue came to a head when the question was, okay, it's time to spend money. It's time to put money in the CIP, and we need to make a decision. So if the decision is going to be move Plant One, we need to make that decision to plan for it. If the decision is going to be we're not going to move Plant One, we're going to repair it in certain ways, we need to make that decision so we can start doing that as well. So in the board workshop that we had several Saturdays back, the discussion item was really for three alternatives. One was simply give it a facelift and fix everything that's there so we don't have it 20 years. Then the other question was, let's move to Plant Two, and then there was an interim brought up. Veolia has a concern that even if we fix Plant One, it isn't going to operate as well as Plant Two because the clarifiers are substandard. They're older clarifiers and not as deep, and they have other issues. So there was an interim added of, well, what if we just rebuilt the clarifiers at Plant One also? It kind of comes ahead on two cases. One is we do need to plan for in the CIP if we're going to spend money there. We want to get it in this rate study because this rate study is for 5 years. The other issue is in 5 years exactly. You know, you guys are going to be building denitrification. You're going to start into that project of denitrification. That project takes place at Plant Two and Plant One. So you know you'll be investing millions into both plants at that time. And you certainly don't, you know, you need to be considerate about this decision. So the discussion item came up, well, what are the costs and what are the things? And I said, okay, let's do an engineering study. The master plan team that analyzed both plants is the most qualified to do that. And the direction from the board at that time was, let's get a proposal from Stantec to do this analysis so we can make a decision once for all and move on. Because right now it's delaying the rate study, it's delaying our progress on, you know, equipment repair or what we do. So we're recommending authorizing the proposal from Stantec, and I'll be working with them on an accelerated basis to try and at least get spreadsheet numbers out of them in time for the rate study and in time for decisions to be made for the board.
Any questions or staff? Any public comment? Seeing no public comment, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. I think it's something that we have to do. We have to look forward, and that's part of why we're elected, is to watch the money. We certainly don't want to, even if we're not here 5 years from now, somebody else might be sitting here. We're the ones that are getting tasked to make this decision at this particular time, and we truly can't do it without adequate information. Good, reliable engineering information. So, any other comment?
Yeah, I think phase the Plant One really needs to be analyzed and look at the viability for it. It's it doesn't seem like it's had its usefulness, and so yeah, we'll see that data.
Do I hear a motion?
So I move staff recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we're going to do an update on the flotation project. Seth.
Okay, so I wanted to give an update on where we're at in the filtration project. And it's the biggest project that's going to happen in Discovery Bay over the next couple of years. And it's in how we're funding it and how we're doing it. So we are currently out to bid on the filtration project. So people can buy plans and specs. Bid date is April 4th, and we are planning to bring it to the board on April 6th. So be on your calendar ahead of time, and we'll bring the price to you on the April 6th meeting. And based upon that, we should be able to underway on construction around May 1st, maybe the last week of April, but after you award, get upon insurance contracts and stuff like that. So it'll be about a May 1st start date, and they'll be digging initially the foundation. So it looks like a 10-foot deep hole, 50 feet by 70 feet, and that'll be the start. So that's why we want to get it done this summer. This is why it's critical that we get that initial part done when we don't have weather. That's the key driver on that. Completion is currently around 15 months. We put it in September next year. And that gives us 4 months to start up and then operate the plant under our existing permit. We are under direction and in our NPDES permit to be facilities constructed by December 31st, 2017. But in addition to you have to build it, our actual permit limits change. So right now, our fecal coliform limit is 22 MPN, most probable number for 4 milliliters of water. That's going to go to Title 22, unrestricted use is going to be 2.2. So the water has to be essentially 10 times cleaner. Okay. So Veolia has not operated, none of the staff here has operated filters before. And they need time to do that when it doesn't hurt us so bad, we don't do it right. You know what I'm saying? So that's the other driver, is we got to get online and give people time to learn and operate this facility before our permit changes. After that, it's a straight up violation. If you miss it, you miss it, and that's a $9,000 daily violation. So we have to be on our toes. So that's sort of the construction schedule. Now, financing schedule is a little more problematic. We originally hoped that we could be out to, when we started the whole discussion of bonds and how we're going to finance and things like that last July, we were hoping that in the ideal world, you'd have your bonds in place, then go out to bid as a public agency. But we come to realize that really the rate study had to go first, because we can't float bonds or debt service if you can't support the debt service and people want to see your financials for that and stuff like that. It's a rather big, if the portion, the filter portion of the job is going to be around $7.4 million. Bid cost is estimated at 6.6, but you have engineering costs and everything involved there. And then, of course, you have other items, sort of the jump-on items that may or may not go in, maybe the water meters, maybe some well aid. So there's some things that are being lined up that if we are going to borrow funds, that's going to take place. All that has to get wrapped into the rate study. The rate study is very fixed, rigid schedule in terms of how we have to get that accomplished. So at the moment, what will end up happening is we're going to complete the rate study with the financing department here and board. And once we've agreed on the rates and those are adopted, you'll be able then to quickly go out and obtain financing, whether you decide public financing, private financing. We have the team in place to move forward. Draft memorandums have been written, in terms of what we might allow and what we're going to seek. But realistically, that's a 90-day funding process. That's a cycle, before you get like money in the bank, right? You got to go out and solicit loans, then you got to go through the whole process to line it up and that kind of thing. So you will have invoices come from the contractor on June 1st, and the district's going to have to pay those, bridge those invoices until we get financing. Now, financing can pay us back. So for instance, the bid cost is estimated at $6.6 million, but you can give back through your financing engineering costs and other things you've already spent. You guys already adopted a measure to allow you to do that. So the intent is you'll back fund the entire project cost once you obtain funding. In the meantime, you've already been floating a little bit. You'll float a little bit more on the contractor when he shows up, probably like 90 days of invoices before the financing is in place. So that's the filter project coupled with how the rate study and the financing will go to support it in sort of a nutshell, and I have to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? Any public comment?
The only thing that I might add is that I've been working with a financial advisor that the board approved some months ago, looking at how much we can parallel this work, and so the information on the gap financing that will need to be covered, the 90 days, that really is a worst case scenario. We're hoping to pull that back just a bit to perhaps 45 or somewhere between 30 and 60, pull that back a little bit. The financial advisor thinks that we should be able to do that. We should be able to do. So we're working with him fairly closely.
Other questions? That was information only.
Yeah, it's information only, just so everyone's on board, and then we'll see you on the 6th. for approval. Unfortunately, you don't get to say no. So that's the best one. We're going to get to see.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to item G4 on contract with the Bob Murray and Associates for recruitment of a district general manager staff.
Thank you. As you know, the last day for former general manager Rick Howard was February 19th, and one of the items that you directed him to do was to go and reach out and to with firms that may be able to do a recruitment for the new general manager. And he did. He reached out to Bob Murray and Associates, and I have the package in front of you. Bob Murray and Associates has fairly extensive public sector experience and I think is well qualified to undertake this review. His proposal, again, which is in front of you and was included in our packet, is a cost of $17,500 for professional services and a maximum of $6,900 for reimbursement expenses for a total maximum of $24,400. Mr. Murray believes that he can present qualified candidates to you within 75 to 90 days. And the whole process, including doing interviews and a selection, is expected at 16 or 17 weeks. But that he would be able to present individuals to you in 75 to 90 days. And so my recommendation is that you authorize me to enter into a contract with Bob Marine Associates for the recruitment with a maximum cost of $24,400.
Any questions, staff?
This is about what it was last time.
That was going to be my question. I've gone through this before, and everyone was.
Is this the pay as you go?
As you go.
Or you just pay the whole thing up front?
No, it was paid up front last time.
No, I think that this is a.
And his timeline is about the same as it was last time.
It's a time and material.
Consulting fee, yeah.
Did we asked Rick before he left about he had the packet from when we hired him?
I have that. He gave that to me.
So we get a rough idea what we're looking for.
Yes, we will actually put that likely on your next agenda. One of the first tasks that Mr. Murray has in there is to be able to have an opportunity to sit with the board and have the board articulate the kinds of skills and background that he's looking for, and as well as he sent a survey to Rick Howard, and Rick provided me the survey that he gave to Bob Murray, so I'll have that for you as well. And I'm hoping that Mr. Murray can come to your next agenda on the 16th.
Any public comment?
Do you have
a, please address the reason being is we're recording something.
Oh, good. My name is Randy Jerome. Spell it right. Do you ever get more than one bid on anything? I'm just curious. It seems like every time I come to a meeting here where we're talking about one item, one item only, I don't hear. There's a lot of contractors out there and a lot of people that have businesses that I'm sure can provide the services that are needed here in Discovery Bay. Every time we come to a meeting, it seems like your agenda is always off with one person. So I was just curious, can you open that up for a bid rather than spend $24, that $1,000 on one person?
Yeah, please.
We had, at the last time we hired a general manager, we went through exactly what you're asking us now. We had several bids. And there are very few people that do what we actually need here. In fact, the last one, in the middle of the process, disappeared after we paid it. So a lot of times when you hear us only ask for one bid, it's a job very similar to another job we've done before where we've gone up to multiple bids and we take a contractor that we've had good luck with and all of them are competitive. So we don't ever hire somebody who's far above somebody else unless one's not qualified.
But also, there's another example. We're in the process of evaluating the roof of this building.
Right. 75,000?
Yeah, we're going to have multiple bids on that. But when it comes to the meeting, staff has already gone through that. We don't discuss that here. We're getting staff's recommendation because they've already analyzed behind the scenes, did the homework for us. So it might, some of the things you may have listened to didn't realize that there were bids on there.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Okay. Any other public comments? I'll bring it back to the board for discussion.
I have a blue staff recommendation.
I'll second that too.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Move
Okay, going to G5, agency comment request, Discovery Bay Shopping Center Lending's staff.
Thank you. This item originally went to the board on, and it was put on your February 3rd agenda, and you considered the ice cream parlor, coffee shop, and sent to the county planning agency a comment letter of no negative comments. They communicated back that actually the application was more broad. They did promise me that by placing this back on your agenda that you are not delaying any business moving in. That was a promise that they made. But they did ask us to bring this back to you. So there's two elements to the actual land use permit. One is that it broadly allows more retail establishments, restaurant establishments within that shopping center. That's the first thing it does. Secondly, the existing shopping center has the one building I'll call the old bank building. It's the building with now the Delta Valley Athletic in it. That building is really only for currently office uses, and the other buildings are non-office, they're retail restaurant. This makes it far more flexible across the entire site, and it makes a whole lot of sense. What it's going to do is allow the owners of the property and those representing them to work with a number of prospective tenants and place them in the location that's good for them. The second thing it does is it streamlines the permitting, so individual businesses will not have to come back and pay the money and go through the permitting process. So I think it's a broader change and it's a good change. So my recommendation is that you authorize me to send a letter recommending approval based on the permit streamlining and how it will help the businesses locate in that shopping center.
Any public comment? Seeing none, public comment.
I'll make the motion.
Catherine,
question.
The 34,000 square feet, that's encompassing the entire
That's the project.
That's what's my question. I looked at this the first time I got it, and they didn't show 34,000 feet. And it shows that they wanted right in the parking lot.
Any other comments from the board? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion. The staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll go to item
G6.
The special district representation.
Thank you. The district received correspondence yesterday afternoon from the LACCO staff that the deadline of next Monday to submit a nomination for the special district's representation on LACCO. And as you know, LACCO has two special district seats on their board. And so it's not, the board doesn't have to submit a nomination, but every special district is allowed to submit one individual if you wish. The second item that's on here is to designate the voting member, and the procedures call that the president, the presiding member of the legislative body, which would be President Pease, would be the designated voting member. And then the provision also allows you to pick one or more alternates just in the event that President Pease is unable to attend the, I believe it's the April 18th meeting when the actual voting will occur. So you have two items before you. One is whether you wish to consider forwarding a nomination. And the second question is to designate Director Pease and designate an alternate as well. And in the past, it's been the vice president.
Okay, we'll take the first item. Is anyone on the board interested in nominating? I think it's important that we be there. Unfortunately, my schedule doesn't allow me. If it wasn't like that, I wouldn't be able to attend a sufficient amount of meetings to make a meeting.
Don't they usually bring you the people that run for the board, and we pick one and you said
they actually nominate a committee. gets all the nominees, then they'll bring it to us, and then we'll vote on them. Oh, yeah, we have to do it.
Has Kevin said anything?
No.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
Okay, well, it's a nice, great opportunity, but discussion here with the board, times are not available to make the meetings. Okay, we'll go to item number two, and that's designating the president to be the voting delegate. Any discussion?
Nope.
I think the state law says that the president would be there. As far as acting as a alternate, I would think that the vice president should be the alternate if I'm unable to attend the meeting. Any public comment? Seeing none, do I hear a motion?
Well, I would make a motion that Bill Pease, as president, would represent us in the event he can't represent us, the vice president, Director Lee, Vice President Lee could represent us. Can we make a motion?
You just did.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, I'll go to the meeting.
But I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
It'll actually come back to you because you're going to get the nomination list and then you're going to get direction on who to vote for. So that's why the whole appointment thing is just silly. It's send anybody.
Okay, do we have any informational items from the staff?
No, we have none.
Okay. Any reports from the directors? I don't think we attended anything since last meeting. Any general manager's reports?
There's just two items that we have. One or two meetings ago, representatives of the Pickleball Association of Discovery Bay came and spoke to us about some cracks in the pickleball courts, and Brian Miller went and got a quote. It was $1,000, and so we're going to proceed with the repair of those courts. So I just wanted to let you know that that was on its way. And then the second was a potential rupture of a sewer pipe on Beaver Lane last week. And Virgil Caney, can you give us a quick report on that?
Good evening. As you well know, that probably every 4 years we take, actually every year, we take 25% of our sewer mains and we hydro flush them. We clean them so we can get the baby diaper wipes and the grease and that cleaned up. And then with the new law a few years back, we now video inside them. After you clean the 25%, you send a video camera in. Primarily what you're looking for is cracks in the pipe that's allowing groundwater to come in, which then adds more cost for you to treat that groundwater before you discharge it into a river. Anyway, we went through and cleaned out, and the folks had brought a couple of pieces of clay pipe. The older sections of Discovery Bay, the sewer mains out of our clay pipe. So that alarmed them, so they brought in a video camera to come in and clean the video that. And the video camera, as it got to an edge, to actually a joint in the clay pipe is only 5 foot sections. And when it got to a joint, it started from the camera's view, when it's coming down, looks like it slipped, the pipe slipped down. So that sent out for me to come out and look at it. They gave me a picture, and the camera sitting back here looking at this image 4 to 5 feet away, and it looked like a pipe had slipped. So I knew PG&E had been in the area replacing the gas mains before they replaced the gas mains, and after they replaced the gas mains, they put a video camera down the sewer mains also, but they don't share that data with us. That's for their personal needs. Anyway, I knew they had been through there. So what alarmed me was the camera guy telling me, I think your pipe has slipped. If it causes a slip, then in essence, it could back up, cause us an overflow, which, as you know, $3,000 to $20,000 a day, so forth. So we did dig it up last Friday and got down to about 7 feet deep. When we go anything beyond 5 feet, we have to put shoring in there so the soil doesn't collapse on the workers. Anyway, the pipe is taking a dive down because up in about 6 feet away is a storm drain pipe. 18-inch concrete storm drain pipe. You can't move the storm drain pipes, so the sewer dived down, and that's what it was. It wasn't broken, but we spent some money to make sure what it was. And so now what we've done is, in our GIS system, that section of pipe, we have noted in there that when you see it, almost look like it fell off, it's really zoomed down. I mean, it's really tapered off a lot. One other thing, if you don't mind, is the building, the equipment storage building materials all arrived today, and they've been building the foundation for that. I'm sure with the rains that are anticipated in the next few days, next week, they'll probably be laid up for a few weeks until the soil dries. Okay, any other questions?
Thank you, Virgil.
Any other items?
No, that's all I have. Thank you.
District legal.
Nothing for me this evening.
Hasn't been any subcommittee meetings since our last board meeting. Got some correspondence from the aviation committee and on state route 4 bypass. I don't see any public records requests. Are there any future agenda items on the board?
Yes.
Okay.
We haven't had an update on, we put this system in, these cameras, the surveillance system. It's been probably a year, I think, since we did. I'm just curious if it's working, if it's.
Okay. We'll bring that back to you.
Bring us a couple days later.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Be happy to.
Okay.
Oh, and also if you add in that we might look at the cost of adding a camera to the fire station.
I will. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. No other items. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We're adjourned.